to help you visualize in your mind's eye the word picture of our text, please imagine a concrete platform, very solid, and people are bringing all kinds of things to put on top of it. Some people place solid gold bricks or silver ones. Others bring diamonds or other expensive jewels. Then come pieces of lumber, bales of hay, and a few dump the grass clippings out of their lawnmower bag onto this pile. Then a day comes when a man shows up to start the whole thing on fire. What do you think will burn up? What won't? Think about that as you hear the word picture of Paul, 1 Corinthians 3. According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. It's quite a picture that the apostle is painting, but what does it mean for you and me? Let's start with the main idea, building on the one foundation. That simply means that we use what's already there, the gospel of Christ, as the firm basis for a person's faith. In practical terms, we are to preach, teach, and stress to ourselves and to other people the all-important Reformation truth of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, worked out entirely by Christ alone. We are to proclaim that. And that seems like a straightforward enough idea, not too hard to make that identification. But what does it mean when Paul goes on to talk about building with wood, hay, straw, the flammable materials? I'm hoping a few examples will make the point. It is building with wood, hay, and straw. If a church adds to the gospel of Christ things not taught in the Bible, or a church leaves out Bible doctrines in the interest of compromise to keep people from leaving. Likewise, it is building with wood, hay, and straw. If we use the law of God as a stick to keep people in line, to motivate them, to do what only the gospel can do, all such measures, messages, amount to building with wood, hay, and straw because God's word is either misused or it's being replaced with a man-made idea. When we build on that one foundation, we are only to use the fireproof material, what Paul identifies as gold, silver, precious stones. Here he talks about the doctrine and the practice of a church, your church, as being faithful to Scripture, in harmony with the gospel, at every turn. That is, we are to build with gold and silver by using God's law properly to show to ourselves and others the problem of sin, our sins, their sins, and then bring the unconditional gospel, the certain cure, the full and free forgiveness of their sins in Christ. We are to build with gold and silver also by teaching all other doctrines set forth in the Bible, nothing more, nothing less. And then bringing all of that truth consistently, faithfully, evangelically to our children and grandchildren, to our friends and neighbors, and to people around the world. It sounds like an enormous job in which the stakes are high and the resistance can be fierce. But you have God on your side, who has provided all the material in His Word and sent the Holy Spirit to work in that Word and has brought you and me together as a team, His building crew. On that team, He has placed certain people in well-defined roles. We can think of those who serve as pastors and teachers, His called shepherds to the sheep and lambs in a congregation or a Christian day school, a church body, or a school like ours, or the foreign mission field. All of us, regardless of our calling in life on a full-time basis, have the responsibility to witness the Savior wherever and whenever we can, and support the work done by others. Let's not underestimate the value of what is done by your prayers, your offerings, not only to the work of your local congregation, but throughout our church body and overseas in our foreign missions. Whatever you can do to support the work of your brethren elsewhere in God's kingdom, that too is a God-pleasing example of how to build in the right way. It is truly, we may not realize it, but it is truly an awesome privilege and an incredible responsibility. What makes the responsibility so great is the fact that human souls are at stake. The eternal welfare of many people hangs in the balance. And for that reason, God will have a final day of reckoning when He not only judges the hearts of all people, He also inspects all the work done in His name. Are you familiar with building codes? The AC had to conform to Wisconsin's building code. God will apply the highest standard of a building code ever, and rightly so, because He expects what He fully deserves, a quality structure on top of that platform, which will be His temple, no less. Meanwhile, we face the constant challenge of working on that building crew with a nagging problem. Yes, we have our faith in Christ, which leads us to use and to follow His Word, but we also have our flesh, which leads us astray. That goes for all of us, ministers and members in a church, teachers and students in a school. God's grace will have to repair, restore, and renew each one in His kingdom. Nobody understood this better than the writer, Paul, who also wrote these words about himself: "I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." No, we're not apostles like he was, but things really are no different for us today. We too need the grace of what Christ has done for us already, and the grace of what the Holy Spirit continues to do in us day after day. Only then, and surely then, will that final day of inspection be for us the everlasting day of celebration. A fact and truth for which we pray and sing in our closing hymn today. We turn now to hymn 264, stanzas 1 and 5. Stanzas 1 and 5 of 264.